We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ben Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Ryan Castle will be in here. Well, once again, since Spin Action, Ryan won't be here. He's at home at his basement studio. Very plush. Nice spread he's got.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll sit and spin today with 10 songs about Mr. Such and Such, 10 songs that have Mr. in the title. That is on the way after emails on our question, why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
Years ago, in my early 20s, I got a second job, and the second job was working security, quote-unquote, at a corporate office building. In other words, you sat behind a desk, someone walked in the building, you just made a mental note they were there. And because I worked on the weekend, very few people ever came in. And it was stuff like lawyers coming in to finish crap on their case. I mean, maybe three people a day. But whatever the case, had to be there at 6 a.m. And I remember for about the day and a half leading up to this particular shift, there's a whole lot of booze, a whole lot of drugs, and almost no sleep. But whatever. Show up at work. Charlie Sheen did, right? Doesn't matter your condition. Show up at work. And I'm there for like 2 hours. And I start seeing smoke. So this is a big-ass office building. Massive lobby. And I look in the corner and I see smoke. And it's just like, oh, no. You know, just, oh, no. And I see it clear as day. So I kind of get up. And I don't smell anything. It's a weird thing. And as I keep looking around this lobby, and then I went up to the first floor, everywhere I look, man, there's smoke pouring from everywhere. And I'm kind of freaking out. But again, I don't smell anything. There is no heat. There's nothing going on. And I'm debating whether or not I'm going to call 911. Do I pull the fire alarm? Because, again, I just want to investigate a little more. Because you don't want to overreact, right? But clearly, there is smoke. And then I'm in a horrible mood. Because, again, I'm tired. The building presumably is on fire. And it just sucks when it's on your watch. Also, truth be told, this is like day three of dealing with the fact that I had gotten crabs, right? I'd already shaved my pubes. I'm soaked in red. I mean, like, just your mindset is not the best. And I'm like, no, the building's on fire, right? Looking around, finally out of sight. All right, man, I got to call 911, right? Because everywhere I'm looking, there's smoke. And I always remember this moment. I go to grab the phone, and I look down at my own arm. And I see smoke coming off of my arm. And I look at my hand, and there's smoke coming off of my hand. And everywhere I look, I realize I see smoke, and I realize it was not smoke. It was sleep deprivation and residue from drug use. So everywhere I looked, it the smoke never got any thicker. It never went away. It was just in the periphery of everything. And then I realized for the next 6 hours that I'm on the shift, everywhere I looked like it's on fire. One of these lawyers comes in, you know, kind of waves to me. It looks like he's smoldering and he's on fire. You can't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, bro, it looks like smoke's pouring off of you because I'm high and sleep deprived. But for about a good 45 minutes, I'm freaking out. Just like, oh, no. Dude, you're going to have to deal with this. All right, what's the protocol? And finally, I'm looking at my arm like, all right, bro, either you are also on fire or you're still just really, really high and had not gotten enough sleep. That's all it was.
Now, typically, in our office situation, in our building, they do fire drills on a regular basis. You're assigned stairwells to go down, how many floors you're going down, where your waiting area is, et cetera. And then when the drill's done, you go back upstairs, blah, blah, blah. This happens on 42 floors in this building. They do it at least once a month. It's just one of those inconveniences where they say, there's a fire alarm going off. This is a drill. Proceed your route, blah, blah, blah. There was one day when we were in here on the air, and the alarm goes off, and it does not say that. It says, there's a fire.
Right. This is for real.
There's a fire. And we're all in here like, all right, well, we're on the air. I guess we just ride this out and see how it goes down. We get down to the front, though. There's no fire. There's no fire trucks. The alarm goes off on the floor. We continue the show. Fortunately, nothing happened.
Okay. Keep in mind, our floor has been evacuated. We got a guy signaling us through the glass who's saying, like, look, guys, I don't know what to tell you, but I'm leaving.
So
I'm leaving. I'm out of here.
So with those scenarios,
Sean,
the alarm is going off on the floor. The lights blink. There are sirens. There are instructions that you hear from an audio standpoint that tell you where to go, what to do.
And we ignored all of them, by the way.
We did. Just last week. All right. Now, keep in mind, now, there's nobody in the building. There is nobody in this building whatsoever. Steve and I go to the elevator. We're done for the day. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We realize that the elevator is not working.
I can't call. I keep pressing the button.
The elevator
won't light up, nothing.
It's completely shut down. And we're like, and at this point, you have to understand, it is 6:02, and we are thirsty. I mean, we
it was Thursday because
thirsty.
Football was on. That's what it was.
We have a plan. We're going to go watch football real quick before we go home. Just at least catch a couple series. We're thirsty. We cannot get out of the building. However, there is no alarm going off on our floor.
So keep in mind, we're standing there pressing for the elevator. Nothing's happening, but the lights are not strobing. The audio part is not going
off. It's not working. So we're like, well, what is really going on here? So Steve and I, we jump in the stairwell. We take off. We go 14 floors down. Actually, we got lost, and we were in, like, the office of the building, the maintenance
area. We were
area.
In a place we very obviously were not supposed to be.
When we ended up
But we did not
door.
Know this. We're like, man, this, okay. we should not be
So
here.
Just like anything else.
Thanks for letting Mike and I know.
So we jump off on the, we jump off on the loading dock area.
We were still going to go to the bar, Ted.
We were walking outside.
But you're like, there was no alarm. Like, yeah, Mike and I were still sitting up
Yeah.
here.
So, okay, now we come down to where the front of the building is. For the first time ever, Seattle Fire Department has got four big trucks out front, the big rigs.
Yeah, yeah.
We can hear the alarm going off now that we're in the front of the building.
Not downstairs. On our floor, but you can hear it when you get to the lobby.
And everyone from the building is now out front, which is not standard protocol on any of the fire drills or anything like this. This is different, right? So I look at Steve, and we're still going to the bar, and I'm like, I'm going to call Mike. So I just picked up the phone. I'm like, hey, Mike, the elevators aren't working. Pretty sure the building's on fire. If anything happens, I just want to let you know, and I'm sorry. Click.
Right.
And then we proceeded to walk to the bar. I figured he'd tell you, and then we started drinking.
Damn, man.
You didn't tell him?
No.
We assumed you would tell Ted.
I called and said, hey, man, the building's on fire. Maybe get out.
You want the truth, Miles?
What?
You called me while I was on the John, man.
Oh, so what?
I figured it was important, so I answered the phone, and so you said there was smoke. There was fire trucks out there, so I went, okay, I'm going to go assess this. But I went out, there wasn't a hint of smoke, there was no fire nowhere, no alarms were going off.
Because you couldn't hear anything.
And I had work to do, I forgot about everything that you had said because there was no immediate
that
danger.
That is true, and there was football on, so we were trying to get stuff done quickly.
Yeah.
I know none of this, but as I'm leaving...
You're just hearing it now.
When you guys left, there was no fire trucks outside?
Nothing.
Okay,
but as I'm leaving, it's like 6:50 at this point, like, right. So as I'm leaving, they're like, oh, how about the excitement? What excitement?
What happened? Did they know? Did they say there was a fire in the building somewhere?
I don't know. They said there was an alarm and there was fire trucks and this and that.
Oh, there were.
And
yeah.
I was like, what?
I was like, because I was like, this looks serious. I should call Mike just to give him the heads up.
Seriously, because when we got out front, we're like, holy ass, man.
Yeah.
What we should let the building know is the alarm does not work on our floor.
It does not.
Right, because I was like, no, I didn't hear an alarm. She was like, oh, or whoever it was. I was like, oh, yeah, the fire truck and everything was here. Like, they just left. And I was like, anyhow, NFL football.
And I told Mike,
but now that I'm finding out all three of you knew.
Yeah. And I'm like, Mike, just so you know, man, something happens. I told you.
Right.
No. If not, man, meet you down at the bar. Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, sorry, Ted.
Just heads up.
I don't know. I feel like so, yeah.
I figured Mike would tell you.
So now we know. Call Ted next time.
Yep.
Hello, Sky. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Hey guys, so my husband was raised partially by his grandparents, and grandpa was a military member who retired fairly young, and right after retiring from active military duty, he took up a job loading ammo. So my husband, all throughout high school and college, would work in his grandfather's workshop, which was just right in the backyard, right behind the house, and they would load like tens of thousands of ammo rounds like in any given like 2 week period, right? So on top of that, grandpa is an avid gun enthusiast and was ordering like way too much like aluminum and titanium and all the things that you need to load ammo. Yeah, probably like a little bit more than like you're legally supposed to have, but whatever. So we had all this stuff in the workshop, and one night lightning strikes the workshop and it explodes. Ooh. And 10,000 rounds go off at once. It catches, obviously the whole entire workshop is destroyed. The back half of the house catches on fire, and the chemical explosion was so massive that the neighbors actually thought that a plane had landed in the backyard.
Oh, Jesus.
Damn.
And so on top of that, fire trucks come out, police come out, and they can't even get in to put the fire out because there's live rounds going off for hours and hours and hours into the night.
So did your husband and his dad and mom evacuate the house and try to get as far away as they could?
Yeah, they had to get out as quickly as possible. There was no saving the house. They had actually, from what I've heard, the damage wasn't as bad. Like, they had to rebuild probably like the back corner of their house.
Yeah, they probably expanded the kitchen. You know what I mean?
That's your opportunity.
Right. Yeah.
Did they say how long they had to wait to actually try to put the fire out?
I'm pretty sure it had to burn itself out. Like, they couldn't even get into it.
So there was never a point where they felt safe.
You had a chance of walking up and getting shot.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I don't know if they were like, all right, that's a problem. Well, it's the same thing like when you see, like, fireworks warehouses go up. You know, the fire department's like, look, dude, I mean, we can watch it burn, but we're not going in there.
We did most of our damage as kids in my buddy's dad's workshop. It was not as complex as that. It was more about shotgun shells.
Sure.
He made his own ammo. Mm-hmm. But if we wanted to do some stupid stuff, trust me, there's nothing dumber than you can do to take some 4F gunpowder and...
Well, you have to know. If you own a workshop...
Figure out how to have a good time with
it. And you have a son, and your son has friends, there's going to be a point where you're going to have a long, angry conversation with your son and potentially his friends about what not to do anymore in that workshop.
Yeah.
That's a guarantee, right?
I saw a flame come out of the top of a lake one time from something. Out of a lake.
Oh, you guys fishing, huh?
We were fishing. Yeah, we sure were.
That's my first thought.
Figured you're in Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, someone else had a request for you, Miles, to tell the story of the Herky fire.
Herky fire wasn't really... Herky fire was just devastating. Like, I didn't smell the smoke. You could just see the light coming from that area. And then when you got down there, like, these flames coming out of that house, they were 30, 40 feet high. And it was a rancher. It was like a one-story.
Right.
So by the time that I got there, and like I told you, in West Virginia, volunteer fire department means that they ring the bell, and then the guys go to the fire department to get their stuff. Then they get onto the fire truck, and then they go to the residence.
So in other words, your house burns down.
It's gone. You know what I mean? So by the time that even the fire department got there, there was just nothing. They were just putting out a fire. But the problem was that my buddy Herky, his younger brother, they had gotten a console for Christmas, and I can't remember what the game console was.
What year?
This was probably around 1988, so maybe ColecoVision or
88.
Oh no, that's Nintendo,
dude. Nintendo's
fresh. I think it was Nintendo. You know what? You're right. It was Nintendo. But
Coleco in 1988.
I can't remember what year it was. Damn. As far as what games came out in what year, but yeah, probably was Nintendo.
I just know late 80s, early 90s, we got our first Nintendo.
Yeah. Jason hid the two games, underneath his pillow.
All right,
because he didn't want his brother playing with him. He didn't want Herky to play with his games. So when I get down there, and Jason was he was in different classes. He was a challenge student.
Mm-hmm.
So when I get down there, he is running back and forth outside the house as fast as he can, going, "Herky, Herky, the house is on fire!" And I'm like, "Jason, calm down, man. It's okay. You know, you it's just
you're telling him to calm down. His goddamn house is on fire."
Right. Okay. So. Lo and behold.
Relax, man.
The entire, the entire house burns to the ground. It's a terrible tragedy. And then, so what does Jason want to do when they get back there? He wants to go find his cartridges. Lo and behold, the game console had completely melted.
Yes.
His two cartridges survived under a feather pillow pressed against the mattress. Jason went down there. His cartridges were one of the only things that survived the fire, although he had no game system.
So we can blame on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He had no game system, but had no television. But his two cartridges survived the fire. But I'll just never forget him running back and forth in his pajamas, because they were like baseball pajamas.
Yeah.
He had like guys swinging baseball bats on him, and he's running back and forth in these pajamas, you know what I mean? Like one button's off, kind of like you are when you walk out of
yeah.
You know, like that kind of thing. Huggy, huggy, and I'm trying to calm him down, but it was so hot. You could not believe how hot that fire was.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the thing that really stuck with me from the whole night, was just the fact that it was a wall of heat. Like, not even a foot forward you could take.
Damn.
It was fires are a lot more intense than people think.
You just don't know, you know?
It's insane.
But, I mean, you like, even just where I sit, I mean, this is kind of stupid, but even just where I sit for Sounders games, like, when they shoot off those flames when they score a goal, like, you feel it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? It is stupid. Like, my first experience was something like that. I remember the first time I went to see Kiss. Right, it's 1983, and you know that when they take the stage, there's explosions and flames. And I just remember they take the stage, and these two big-ass plumes of flame shot up, and I could not believe how freaking hot it was.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I'm just looking at the band like, what are you doing?
When I did 2 days of training with the Baltimore City Fire Department, all right? At one point in time, when I took my boot off, there was an inch of water inside my boot from my sweat. That is how hot it is when they're simulating a fire. So there was a tower that's a simulated tower, but they have gas lines running all along the perimeters of the walls and the ceiling and everything else. It is hot. You are in 60 pounds worth of stuff. You're carrying a hose and you're going up to the top and you're climbing a stairwell and you're going up to the top and it keeps getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And by the time you get up there, you are dripping. I mean, you are dripping in sweat. And that's not even a real fire. It's like a simulator.
There's no real adrenaline going on.
No, there's no, it's just, you know, it's just, it's, you know, it's a controlled environment. And because it was the Baltimore City Fire Department, when we got up to the top, there was this dude who had like one of those reggae beanies on that had the fake dreadlocks coming out the back. And he had sunglasses on and he was smoking a big blunt. That was like the gag. So when we got up there, it was like, I started the fireman. So then we had to carry his ass down the steps. You know what I mean? He was easy, like 220. It's like, you know, he was just loving it. He was laughing because he's a fireman. He's a fireman. He doesn't care.
Then you get edited out of Ladder 49. Isn't that why you did it?
Completely.
So you did this, right, because they're filming Ladder 49 in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. John Travolta, was that his movie?
Yep.
All right.
And
so,
Joaquin Phoenix.
Phoenix, all right.
He was in that movie?
Yes, he was.
Was he?
Yeah, because he's part of the training.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. This is before he had the limp.
And then you were in the movie, right?
We were just extras to play extra parts as being
fired. But isn't that what you want to point at the screen?
Yes!
And you got edited out?
That's me running in there. Everything hit the floor. Everything from the 2 days.
You can't even be an extra.
Everything we did from the 2 days hit the floor. I mean, it wasn't even like, we went to a whole different neighborhood to film something. And it never even made it.
Damn.
Yeah. It's like, that sucks.
I want to see the drain.
You know me, I'm like, F Hollywood.
Right.
You know what I mean?
F Hollywood.
Right.
You just
crap.
Lost a great opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I learned how to break down a door with an axe and crap, you know, all this stuff.
That sounds pretty cool, though.
It was pretty cool. It just, you
really?
Know, it's probably,
yeah.
I swear
that
to God.
That doesn't sound cool to me.
That jacket, those pants, the oxygen tank on the back, your boots, probably easy. Easy 60 pounds. I think it's even more than that. It's probably 65.
So what about this sounds cool to you, Ted? I got 60 pounds of crap on. I have an inch worth of foot sweat, and I'm in a burning building. And I know it's controlled.
When I was a kid, my neighbor across the street was a D.C. fireman.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, as you got older, like, he'd always take us to the firehouse, and you could wear all the gear. But we never got to swing the axes because we're still children. So I'm just like, he got the next level, man.
Oh, man, these are big, long axes.
Oh,
too,
yeah.
Man. I mean, they're like, you know, they're
you
bad.
Never see a door get kicked in? I'd love to kick in a door.
I'd like to kick in a door and axe one down, but more like The Shining, you know what I mean? Like, I'm coming to get you. But not so much with the fire. You know, what? Jack Nicholson did not wear an additional 60 pounds. He simply wanted to kill his own child.
They had,
but either way, you take an axe, you chop down the door. That's cool.
They had, like, and I'm not kidding you, they had a train car on site. They had an airplane fuselage on site. We didn't get to go and train into those.
Yeah,
but when they're training for firemen, I mean, they've tried anything that they can get to train with, they will. So if there's an event of a crash or something like that, either rail or air or whatever. I mean, they train for all that stuff.
All right, so here's the crazy story. And I obviously did not see it firsthand, but we were joking around about Ocean City, Maryland,
mm-hmm.
right? And people there are a little different. So my neighbor would tell, the guy lived across the street, he would tell this story about when they went to train in Ocean City, they had like this old fireman that was like in his 50s or 60s, had been there for years, right? So I guess he was grandfathered in, he didn't have to wear an oxygen mask.
What?
So he would run into these fires when he was fighting them, and every once in a while would poke his head out of a window, take a gulp, and then run back in.
Like he's swimming and holds his breath.
And then as soon as they were done, start ripping cigarettes.
Okay.
Yeah, right? And trust me, my neighbor was a tough dude. Like, he worked a real district, like, fought a lot of fires, and he's like, that's the most badass man I've ever seen.
Yeah, for sure.
Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're in the men's room. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
From Washington State all the way to Washington, D.C., the National Weather Service said yesterday that smoke from the wildfires on the west coast of the U.S. could be seen across the country at the National Mall, all because of the jet stream. Moving at an altitude as high as 25,000 feet, if you looked up, you'd see smoke from the wildfires in the nation's capital.
Well, here, if you look down, you can see the smoke from the wildfires.
Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, yeah, you know, first of all, I want to say I love you guys. I've been listening to you since before Thrill's kids were born.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, yeah, that long. I used to commute from Bellingham to Kirkland to work, and I just stumbled upon you and went, oh, my God, these guys are funny. So
yeah.
Well, thank you, man.
Then when you get up in Bellingham, listen to KISM.
Oh, listen to Brad Johnson.
That's right. That's right.
Which I never did.
Oh, you should have.
Anyway.
It's actually a very good station.
That's a great station. That's a great show.
Okay. Well, you know, maybe I'll check it out. We got radio.com. Why not?
Yeah.
Anyway... So this goes back like 48 years when I was 11 years old. I lived in Morgan Hill, California. I'm sure you probably never heard of it.
You are correct.
Yeah, look it up sometime. It's just this old podunk farmer's town, you know, a beautiful place. But we lived in a house that my mom got an amazing deal on because she knew the realtor, and it was a historic landmark. That was moved from the 1916 fair by pieces and rebuilt at Morgan Hill to preserve it.
What made this house so different or unique?
It was the house of the future.
Ah, okay.
It had electrical throughout the place, the plumbing and all the stuff. And in those days, you know, they didn't have that. And this was a three-story plus a basement. House that just, it had all the amenities that in those days were just unheard of. And so my mom knew this realtor, and in 4 years, the thing was going to get torn down. And so she got it for $200 a month. 5 acre horse corrals. We had cows, horses, pigs, chickens, and all that crap. Anyway, so we lived there for about 2 years, and I was like 11 years old, and I'm going to school, you know, elementary school and or first grade or whatever, and I'm coming home on the bus, and there was this big mountain that you had to go curve around to get to my house, and we're coming down the road, we see this billow of smoke, big, black, huge clouds. Now, as an 11-year-old kid and everybody else on the bus, it's like, oh, no, that's further down the road. That's somebody else's place, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And we come curving around this road, and it was Dante's Inferno. My entire house is in flames. All the big oak trees that were next to us were all in flames. My brother's car was in flames. He had a convertible. It just, everything was just like, oh, my God. And everybody on the bus was like, oh, Steve. That was my name then. Anyways, and they're all freaking out. And I'm just like, I can't say a word. And where they usually drop me off in the corner and I would, and bus would pull away, I'd just go across the street. She wouldn't drop me off there. I'm like, let me out, let me out, let me out. And she's like, no. And she took me down about a block, you know, half a block. I mean,
you're going to run back.
Yeah. And they dropped me off with the neighbors. And there's, you know, a bunch of dudes out there. They're all watching this fascinating, like, horrendous fire. And I'm going, oh, my God, what the hell happened? What's going on? What's going on? And suddenly I went, my mom! And four grown men could not contain me. And I let, you know, I ripped out of their arms and I ran around the back, because I wasn't stupid. I ran around the back of the farm and all my family's just standing there crying and just, you know, freaking out. And my sisters were like, oh, Steve, your comic books. Oh, my God.
Wait, thanks for bringing it up.
Do they have any idea how the fire started?
Well, I had a feeling you were going to ask that question. At first, they on the report, they said it was like electrical because it was a very, very old house.
Sure.
Even though it was the house of the future.
I don't know who wired this place.
The electrician joke. Okay, pull that up. But no, the truth of the matter is, years later, my mom confessed to me that she actually started the fire because she was melting down some lard, and it was an old gas stove, and her and my brother went downstairs to go feed the animals and this and that, and the lard probably sparked and, you know, just, you know, blew up the gas stove, and boom.
She burned down the house of the future with lard. That just seems like not the way to go.
No.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was an accident.
Well, but I understand.
She felt guilty about it for, like, you know, 15 years until she told me.
Well, yeah, because it was a $200 ranch in
It was a house of the future. It's where your family lives. You're going to feel a little bad.
You were like George Jetson's kid, Elroy. I mean, hell.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Oh, yeah, look what I invented. Something that could blow up the universe.
Well, and I don't want to be this person, but in the future, they're not cooking with lard.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it's coconut oil.
Well, you know, again, it was innocent. You know, she'd done it many times, but she didn't keep her eye on it. And, you know, I don't blame my mother, but it was like a real tragedy.
Sure.
We lost two cats, too, you know.
I was going to ask you, man, you said you had cows, you had pigs, you had chickens, and you dealt with these things every day. What was your least favorite animal? Like, as far as any animal, the pigs? Why the pigs?
The pigs. Because.
That's a no-go.
Once again, Men's Room Colors, here are the seven words you can't say on the radio. Sucker. Mother. And. Please keep those words in mind when calling. Now, back to the program.
So, your mom's unpleasant boyfriend.
Yes. He was, he'd been incarcerated, and he thought it was a great character builder to put the trough of the little piglets and stuff inside instead of, you know, having a place where you could pour the slop on the outside. I had to prod through their mud and poo-poo, you know, and these things would attack me and just tear up my legs. And many times I would just pour it over their heads and go, screw you.
Yeah.
Okay. I was just curious to know, like, if I had a farm, God knows I'm the last person that should have a farm, but
then you're going to have a farm one day.
What I know, well, as soon as I said it, like, he's going to retire to a farm.
Yeah.
What animal's going to suck? Pigs make sense because they're smart enough to F with him. Right? Chickens just smell bad, and it's the rooster that's
It's also the pig waste. It's also the pit they have. It's all the things. They're not.
Somebody also told me that people have been lying to us, that they won't eat a whole body.
What, the pigs?
Yeah.
I thought that was like the big thing that the mob did, right? You whack a dude, you feed him to the pigs.
I don't know. I brought it up somewhere else, and somebody's like, don't believe that. They're messing with you.
Well, I guess you're going to have to reconsider who you murdered.
Yep, that's right.
I mean, when they gave you that info, like, why are you telling me this,
right,
man?
Why am I disappointed? Bad news, fellas.
You're right.
That whole plan we had. Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do with the actual stuff.
Back to the Gators.
Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Joshua. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Oh,
basically, when I was a kid, I think it was like 11 or 12. My buddy was around 14 or 15.
mom's working a whole bunch, so she's at work. And we're like, you know what? We're going to make some fried chicken. So get everything ready, oil's on the stove, it's all hot, ready to go. Brother asked me to make the batter for it, right? He whips up the eggs, I put in, you know, salt, pepper, and the flour. So I thought. So once we start dipping all the chicken, putting it in that hot oil, come to find out it's powdered sugar that I use instead of flour. Start making like this nasty orange like topping on the foil. And tried to scoop it out. Scooped it out. Some oil got on the stove, started fire. And I started freaking out. I was like, uh oh, I don't know what to do. So I took the hot grease. And of course, my dumbass ran it underwater. And I don't know if you guys work in kitchens, but
yep,
not a good mixture.
Not if you don't want to fire.
The whole apartment almost caught on fire.
Yeah. How much of the kitchen did you burn down?
Luckily, nothing. My brother went and grabbed the fire extinguisher.
Okay.
Took care of it.
Kitchen is the culprit. I mean, it always seems like it comes to me. The last two times that I've smelled...
Well, sure, man. I mean, it's where most of your heat sources are, and then you add, like he said, you know, you're adding oil and all these other things to it.
Last two times that I've caught something on fire where I've smelled smoke in my house. The first one was when Steve and I made a bad decision to trade some drugs with another coworker. Ted was witness to this night. We had a very difficult time operating a cigarette machine.
Mm-hmm.
This was not a good thing. All right,
but so, we did not know this in advance.
I smoked in my place at the time, which I have not since because of this incident. Got the blanket over me. I'm going to have a cigarette. I'm going to go to bed. I'm on these drugs, though, and they are just knocking me the hell out. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? Kind of thing. I fell asleep with a cigarette in my hand.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the blanket, just like my hoodie, the circle just starts expanding. Nice West Virginia blanket. It was a fuzzy blanket. It was a great blanket.
Oh, one of those, yeah.
I wake up to the blanket on fire, and I'm still underneath it. You know, pretty much I've got like my legs up and the blanket's on fire. So I smell that. It's like this burning nylon. It wakes me up. The next time is a frozen pizza. It had to be like 1:30 in the morning. I'm pass out again. I'm on the couch, man. I mean, this is billowing smoke. There's 10 smoke alarms going off in my house at this point in time. They all go off simultaneously. You know, so it's like, and I woke up and there's just that black hockey puck.
Yep.
You know what I mean? That's in there, man. And I ruined the frozen pizza. But my whole entire house, 2:30 in the morning, I'm airing the damn thing out. That place smelled like burnt frozen pizza for about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's about smoke.
Yeah. I mean, it was just.
I realize, man, my fire source now, we have the fireplace. That's fine. But every once in a while, you get that big pop in the log.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So last winter, I believe it was, got the whole family around. The fire's gone. I'm very happy with my fire. And it's doing a little pop, 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 pop. And this one piece, I mean, just blows out of the fireplace, and this ember lands in the middle of the floor. And I'm
yeah.
like, this is a problem. Well, one, it sucks to pick up, but you got to react quick. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I grab this thing. It's burning my fingers, throw it back in the fireplace. And my son's like, is that dangerous? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it's dangerous, man.
That's why you got to be around the fire all the time.
That's why you saw me jump off the couch and move as fast as I did, because it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized every time we do a fire, I'm just staring at that thing.
But when we grew up, man, we had a fire going every night, because that's how we heated the house.
I know.
So it's like when I think about
but
it.
But it wasn't
then.
My problem when I was a kid. Like, that was my dad's problem.
Not only that, man, but when you take the embers out in the morning, there's a lot of times, those, like, just like a campfire, those embers are still lit. So even though you're scooping stuff out and putting it into an ash bucket or whatever, I mean, those, half the time, I'd be like, man, these coals are still going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though they, you know.
Yeah, we never had a fireplace growing up, so I didn't deal with them much.
Yeah, it's just, man, those things pop out of there. So, and then every winter, you're like, do we get the flue clean? All right.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens, and let's hope our chimney doesn't burst into flames.
I'll tell you this, too. I have never seen, at least in my neighborhood, there's a lot of arsonists. There's a lot of arsonists in the area anyway, but there's a lot of arsonists. So we get a lot of arson fires. But for the most part, honest to God, the majority of the fires that I've seen have been on the water. Docks burning down. Boats burning down. You would think that the water would maybe keep the fire down a little. Or you have access to water to put the fire out. I've seen more boats on fire. I've seen more docks on fire. I mean, hell,
that's the number one fear when you're on a boat.
4th of July fireworks, they lit the entire dock on fire over here on East Lake one year. And I mean, the entire dock burned down. It's this dry ass, you know, wood.
When you watch
still
the deadliest,
on water.
When you watch The Deadliest Catch, they talk about it all the time. They're like, look, like, the fear of a fire on a boat seems to be much higher than the boat sinking.
Yeah, because look, eventually the water will put the fire out, but that's not really the problem that you have.
12 boats burned down in the marina. Like, they were in the water.
I know, that's
they were
thing.
In the water. Like, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? You don't have any water?
It had to be, that has to be, like, just the most discouraging thing. Like, you know, I'm watching my boat, which is not dry docked, man. It's sitting in the middle of a lake. burning, well, not to the ground, but burning, mm-hmm. And then it immediately fizzles out when it burns into the water. Oh, there you go.
Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Matthew. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, guys, so I'll try and make this quick. So I'm a high school teacher, so I walked by the bathroom one day, and you smell the typical weed smoke. Happens a few times a year.
Of course.
So we call the dean, call the associate principals. They all come up, knock on the door of the stall after they make sure there's nobody else in there. Kid said, can I help you? They said, hey, what are you doing in there? He said, smoking a joint? They said, well, why don't you come out here? He said, I'll be out in a minute. Sat there, proceeded to smoke the rest of the joint, opens the door and says, all right, what can I do for you?
And I mean, do you have to kind of explain to him what the situation is, or?
Well, I figure at that point, you know, he's probably stoned enough that he's forgotten why they're standing there. But
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, smoked an entire joint, just waiting for his doom.
Mm-hmm. School changed a lot. Like, when we were in high school, there was a smoking area, and it was across the street from the parking lot.
Behind the gym.
But the problem was, we were smoking with teachers. It was
right,
because
that's the smoking area.
The area was the area. It didn't discourage about who you were. If you were a smoker, you were in this area. So, like, you go over there and have a smoke with somebody, and your teacher would be like, did you study for this test today? Be like, what test today? Like, you're having a test in two periods. Like, golly!
Thank God I'm a smoker, otherwise I wouldn't have known.
Can I get one more cigarette from you to calm my nerves?
Hey, what subject do you teach in high school?
Video production.
And, well, then oddly enough, are your students back in school, or are they doing the home thing?
Everybody's at home for now.
Yep.
What is there an editing tool that is kind of accessible for everybody so they can get on there and learn a little bit about, you know, putting B-roll down and all that stuff? Is there something that's kind of home compatible?
We're working on kind of a mobile platform specifically for this year. So, yeah, I found a program that they can download on their cell phone, and I'm apparently teaching via cell phone.
How long have you been doing this?
This is my third year teaching high school.
Okay. Has anyone moved on to any kind of, maybe somebody went to college to decide to go into broadcasting, or have you had any of those stories, or maybe a YouTube star or something like that?
No big success stories yet.
Okay. All right. Just checking.
It'll happen.
Yeah, it's only been 3 years.
That's what I'm saying. You're not out of the window yet where people have actually started their jobs if they didn't go to, maybe if they went to college, but yeah.
We did not have video production in high school.
No. I told you. I was the library AV person. I was the one who had to wheel down the TV to the room.
And
so
that big blue cart.
Yeah, OPEG projector, all the things,
You're working with the most modern of stuff there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but that cart meant good times.
It did.
Oh, God.
Actually, it just meant not regular class. I shouldn't say that.
But that's why it was good times. If you walked into a classroom and that cart was pre-set up, it didn't matter who the kid was. You're like, yes. Because no matter what you did, one, you could doze off, you could doodle, you could ignore the teacher. It didn't matter because they're going to show you some crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why when you started, I remember in my grade school, we started Roots. And it's like, this is going to be great.
You have to remember, man.
It's going to be a long time before we're done with this show.
And it's a pick-me-up.
All right. I shouldn't say, this is great.
In my three years of junior high, middle school, they dumped three RCA televisions on the ground, busted them
off the cars.
It's amazing that no one died. They would jack these things up 5-6 feet on basically a 2.5 by 3 foot cart, and you'd wheel that thing down the hallway. And
think about it like
putting a television on top of an IKEA dresser for your kid. You know what I mean? This is a bad idea, but now this thing is rolling down the hallway, man.
Ratchet straps.
Well, I'm telling you, man, something, because it was...
Be careful of those IKEA dresses, bro. My kid was 3 years old, and it was the hand-me-down for me as I upgraded, right? So I put this in the boys' room, and I just hear this yell from his room. I always remember this. He's 3 years old, and they had warned that these particular dressers might lean forward if you pull the drawer. You know, like when Atlas is holding up the globe,
mm-hmm.
right? When I open the door, he looks like... But his eyes are bugged open, right? I mean, he's looking at me. It was just like, please help, but... The dresser had fallen over. It hadn't gone all the way down. He caught it on his back, but the reason he was crying is because when he stopped the dresser from going over, the top drawer still rolled down and just bashed him in the back of the...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He did not look happy, but I was like, all right, we're taking this dresser out of his room and putting it somewhere else.
Milk crates, kid. Why was there smoke? 206-421-ROCK.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.